Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the third hour of the three-hour version playoff style of Oilers Now, 4-7 on non-Oiler game days. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott, Kellen Kennedy with you. Brendan and Reed Wilkins are going to join me for a half-hour hot stove coming down the pipe at 6:35. David Staples coming up momentarily from the Cult of Hockey, but not before I tell you at 6:05 in Edmonton. We hear a lot of comments about the cost of living, including the cost of vehicles. At the same time, consumers are keeping their vehicles longer, and repair costs have started to come into play. The team at Brentridge Ford is working to help. They've assembled over 30 Escapes and Bronco Sports that can provide reliable and affordable transportation for fair and open vehicle ownership. Call Rich, Johnny, or Uncle Milt at 780-352-6048. Brentridge Ford is on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. Brentridge Ford is the Ford Truck Authority in Wetaskiwin, where cars cost less. As promised, David Staples coming up from the Cult of Hockey in the Edmonton Journal, and he joins us right now. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Great, Bob. How are you doing, Matt?
Good. And I saw that you posted something today about Evander Kane appearing on the Pat McAfee story show. What's the story there?
Yeah, I guess that show's a big deal in the States. I mean, I'm not that familiar with it.
Yes,
but
it is. Yes, it is. It's huge.
It's huge. For a punter, that's pretty good, NFL punter. But, I mean, what were we? So, anyway, he was on the show, and he did very well. And it was fantastic, because just at the end of the show, he's about to say goodbye, and McAfee wishes him well, again, in his next series. And Kane says, you should come up and do a show from Edmonton. And he persuades him, and then he talks about the Edmonton hockey experience, and just raves. Kane just raves about how loud it is, how exciting it is, how thrilling it is in Edmonton. When you're playing a hockey game, he says there's nothing else like it, way better than the United States. So that was, Evander Kane being a excellent ambassador for the city of Edmonton.
Well, we should mention McAfee is from Pittsburgh. He's a Penguins fan, and he was talking about being at playoff games for the Penguins during their, when they were in the Stanley Cup Finals. And Kane said, well, I was in the Stanley Cup Finals in Pittsburgh as well in 2009 when I was up for the draft. And you can't even compare what my experience at that time in Pittsburgh with what it's like in a Canadian market like Edmonton. So that was an interesting point.
Yeah, and I haven't been to a playoff game in the States, so I can't. So you have that direct comparison. I don't know. What do you think? Is Kane right? Like, is it that much louder here?
I'll tell you exactly what I think. I think this is what happens. I think Canadian fans in the regular season, okay, they really know their stuff. You know, like the joke is there's 16,000 managers at the games in Edmonton watching the Oilers play.
And, the jury.
Right? And so you got to give them a reason to cheer. In the regular season, but when the playoffs come, they get behind and support their teams, and they go all in. So that's how I guess I'd respond to that. And I think it's a discernible difference. The players have talked about coming out of the dressing room, and you can hear the noise as right away when you're coming out for a playoff game. And conversely, at times, and we went through the decade of darkness. Like, Reed Wilkins has referenced this. David, these are the good old times right now for the Edmonton Oilers. Like, it's three straight years of 49-plus wins. Jack Michaels put out on Twitter today, the Oilers are the only team in the Western Conference to advance past the first round for three straight years. So these are pretty heady times again. Kane's an interesting guy because,
At the end of the day, he was fourth on the team in goals and third on the team in even strength goals, and he didn't get any first unit power play time. And I know he went a lengthy period without scoring, and some people said, has he ever really fully recovered from having his wrist tendon severed? But the reality of the situation is he's been a big part of things for the Edmonton Oilers here in the playoffs, David.
Yeah, like early in the year, I admit he had a slow start, and then he came on really strong in November and December. He might have been for a while there. He was really leading the team, but at the start of the year, I was thinking like, what's wrong with him? Like, is this going to go the path of kind of Milan Lucic and where he's too slow to compete in the top six, in that kind of premier position on the team? But then he came on, and then it looks like he has been battling this injury. So, but Bob, there were a lot of people, and I recall you many times saying he's a playoff performer, and that's what I thought as well.
I got called an Oilers shell for saying he's a playoff. I'm like, he's a playoff performer. Like, that's just, hey, do I wish that Evander had more consistency during the regular season? Sure. Do I know what it's like to overcome an injury like that and deal with some? I knew he was hurting. Okay, there was no question he was hurting.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing. Like, we see stuff that we're not allowed to report. We're the extras on. Like, we're all on that planet. As I remind guys that aren't the players, we're all there because of the players. Whether you're a manager, coach, broadcaster, equipment guy, who the players all love. Team medical person, we're there because of the players, but there are certain things that don't get said. And so if I see a guy go walking by and seeing somebody at the front of the plane dealing with an injury, that is for our organizational purposes only, right? That just comes with the territory, and people totally get that. Anybody that sits there and works for a company, there's some stuff that's kept internally in companies that it's nobody else's business but the company, and people fundamentally understand that.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Kane in the playoffs. Hockey is a rough physical game.
I hope so.
Anyone who grew up watching hockey knows that in the playoffs, you need that guy who is fearless. You need that guy who is intimidating to the other team. And those are rare players in the NHL. These are all tough guys. But there's that odd guy, and we in Edmonton, we're well familiar with this kind of player, with Messier and with Pronger, that led their team, Messier to Cup championships and Pronger to the Stanley Cup final. So the other team, you can just see it. They're afraid of that player. That player is intimidating, and that player is Evander Kane. And they don't want to go into the corner with him. They don't want anything to do with him.
Well, he runs everybody, right? Like, he's going to get it.
How many times did he hit Doughty? He crushed him.
Yeah, it was awesome. Speaking of crushing him, you ran some numbers with the Cult of Hockey on the performance of Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah, so we track grade A shots, who makes them. It's interesting because in the regular season this year, I'm just trying to think what the number is. So for the entire regular season, Leon was really good on the power play, but he was for every 2 minutes of power play time, he would get about 0.6 grade A shots. So 2 minutes of power play time. So not every power play would he get one of his executioner shots, one of his great one-timer shots. In the playoffs, though, he's more than doubled that. He's getting 1.4 executioner shots, harpoon shots, one-timer shots, whatever you want to call them, on net in the playoffs. That is an amazing, amazing statistic that he's been able to raise the level of his play. Although I think a lot of that, Bob, like, honestly had to do with just hideous tactics by the Kings on the penalty kill. When I saw them come out there and set up in their little tight formation, I just thought, this is perfect.
They ran a passive diamond to start the series.
Oh, Because, you know, we all saw the Oilers go up against Dallas about a month ago now. I think it was game 74. And Dallas came after the Oilers. They were on them on the penalty kill. You know, there was no easy zone entries. There was no setting up. They were attacking. That's the way to go after the Oilers on the PK. So when the Kings did their passive diamond, I just thought, okay, this is going to go really well for the Oilers. And I didn't expect it would go that well, but it was the best power play since they've recorded power plays in the NHL in the playoffs. That's the best the power play's ever been. So I don't know if they can keep it up through the whole playoffs. Probably not.
Well, they pivoted.
Amazing.
They pivoted from from that sort of inverted diamond, so a 1-2-1 to a 1-3.
Yes, they packed it in even more.
Right. They packed it in even more, and it took Connor McDavid about a second power play to figure it out. So,
and it's because of him, I think, Bob. It, like, I think that passive kill works against teams with less skilled performers on the attack, because they're going to make a mistake. But the Oilers don't, right? They just, their passes, they can be perfect. Every pass can be perfect. And then there's McDavid moving around everywhere, and it just throws everybody off on the penalty kill. So that doesn't work. So we'll see if another team, and there is going to be another team like this. Most of the teams are more aggressive on the penalty kill, I think. We're going to see that, the Oilers up against that, and it's going to be a big challenge.
David, you, on top of, you know, doing your own stats and tracking scoring chances, you also keep a pretty close eye on what gets said and written about the Edmonton Oilers out there. Are people coming around on the fact that this has been a pretty good defensive team for the last 69 games of the regular season? A top five defensive team in the NHL.
Well, you do hear, you know, Kevin Bieksa, for instance. He's never... He is, I think, the best commentator for hockey right now. I think him and Ferraro, but I don't hear Ferraro anymore. So Bieksa is outstanding, but he's been always really sparing of the Oilers in terms of praise, especially in terms of their defensive play. But he was praising guys recently. He was praised Darnell Nurse, Nugent Hopkins, and one other player, I can't remember who. That was just really interesting.
Bouchard.
Yeah, Bouchard for his defensive play.
Yeah.
So, I think, and I'm not around the team, you're around the team, but I hear it repeatedly in the things they're saying, defense first. This group of players has realized after Vegas last year that if they don't fix their defensive play, they will never win the Stanley Cup. If they don't put defense first and make it their top priority, they will never win the Stanley Cup. And I think that's actually deep in this team. Like, this is the genetic memory of this team now, and it's painful for them. But they're all doing it. And, I didn't think that, for instance, Draisaitl and Kane would be a good combination this year, because they both have been iffy defensive players. But they both of them have been really strong on defense this series and getting the job done.
Yeah.
So that's great to see.
We're joined right now by David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. Bob Stauffer joining you on Oilers Now. David, the Oilers ended up with 20 power play opportunities. LA only had 12. Edmonton didn't take one stupid penalty in the entire series. The team, you know, there's going to be some visual out there of Evander Kane talking to the officials and not raising his voice, but having a calm conversation. I don't know if you heard Chris Knobloch at the start of today's show, but I have the personal belief that teams take on the tenor of the coach. And Chris certainly is a very calm guy. You don't see a lot of, you know, anger and vitriol and frustration from Chris on the Oilers bench. Do you think that's maybe translated and parlayed itself into some, I get the sense that the officials actually have more time for the Oilers right now than ever before. I was with a buddy today, and he told me, he goes, Bob, the Oilers got the benefit of the calls against L.A. I mean, game three in L.A., that 5-on-3 call was questionable. The call for the embellishment against Kevin Fiala, though, as Sportsnet pointed out the year before, he did it twice against Edmonton in games 4 and 5. But do you think maybe Knobloch's, you know, obviously improved defensive play, which he doesn't actually take any credit for, but the team's tenor seems different, David?
I, Well, they're certainly playing their defensive system better. Like, there's a lot less confusion and much better decision-making on defense that's going on. And it's interesting, Knobloch talked about the power play, how he didn't want them to rush it, you know, because we always talk about, get a shot on net, shoot, the crowd yells. But he wanted them to be calm and to make the right play. So, you know, there's other coaches that have been calm, but they also look like they're calm, but their volcano's about to erupt. Like, Scotty Bowman didn't say a whole lot on the bench, but he always looked like he was about to explode. Knobloch doesn't look like he looks like he's been sitting in the sauna, then going in the cold pool and having a beer. He is just looks super relaxed, and it's working, Bob. I mean, he just seems, you know, I've never seen a coach like him, and it's mainly in his interviews as well. He doesn't have that kind of super egomaniacal intensity that so many coaches have about him. He seems just a very humble person. And maybe that works with this group of players. They're a very veteran group of players. They probably appreciate someone who treats them like adults, because they are.
Well, I mean, they're the oldest after they went and got Adam Henrik and Sam Carrick, oldest team in the league. What'd you think of the one change they did make? They put Derek Ryan back in and pulled Sam Carrick out of the lineup. What'd you think of that, coming off a 6-1 win?
Derek Ryan was one of their best forwards in the playoffs, two-way forwards last year in the playoffs. He was outstanding. Now, he didn't have a great regular season, Ryan, but so I was okay with them playing Carrick, see how that goes. And it went okay. But Derek Ryan has just been, he's been every bit as good this year I think it's three games now that he's played in the playoffs as he was last year. He is such a smart player. And towards the end of the game, I think it was game four, in the final 5 minutes, the coach was alternating him and Janmark on the wing. It was either Janmark or Derek Ryan. These are two players that Janmark gets a lot of criticism as well. Some people can't figure out why he's in the lineup. He's in the lineup because he's one of the smartest, best defensive wingers in the NHL.
They need to re-sign him.
Yeah, they do, Bob. He's good.
He's a good player, man. And he's, you know, sign him on a 2-year deal at $1 million, and you know exactly what you're going to get. Right?
You know what I love about these players is, like, often, like, they're in their own end for a minute or two. The defense corps just needs to get off the ice. Janmark is one of those guys. He will take it up the ice and hold it against the boards at the other end of the ice, allowing his whole team to change. He does that at least once a game. He is such a smart player. And I actually saw Holloway do that the other game. I thought, oh, that's fantastic. He's learning.
All right. So you got the cult of hockey. You're a prominent feature writer with the Edmonton Journal. I know we try to, even in more political try not to lob any things across your way here. But are we going to have an election at some point here federally?
It comes down to if the NDP is sick enough of the way Justin Trudeau's running this country to take a stand. If the NDP thinks it's in their interest that they can gain advantage, maybe they could overtake the Liberals in the election and be the official opposition, then there's a chance. Otherwise, no.
And so what are we looking at, like 2026?
The election is 2025. I think it's the best guess, Bob, it's going to be after the next budget, so a full year from now.
All right. Great stuff. David, how do people follow you?
On Twitter, X, at the Cult of Hockey.
Great stuff. Thanks for joining us on Oilers Now.
Thanks, Bob.
That is David Staples, 521 in Edmonton. We'll return on Oilers Now with this day in Oilers history. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott, Kellen Kennedy with you. Reed Wilkins is going to swing by here momentarily. We will give you an update. Nashville playing the Vancouver Canucks. Middle of the second period. End of a double minor against the Canucks. Nashville on the power play, and they haven't been able to break through yet. It's still scoreless. 9:40 left here in the second period. The Predators and the Vancouver Canucks. If Nashville wins, we'll have a Game 7 in Vancouver on Sunday. If Vancouver wins, the Oilers are going to Vancouver, likely to start Tuesday, I would think. All right, let's go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. You can explore Southeast Asia on a chartered river cruise next March. Reach out to newwesttravel.com.
1988, Wayne Gretzky picked up 3 assists to lead the Oilers to a 4-1 win over the visiting Detroit Red Wings in Game 1 of the Campbell Conference Finals. The team's combining for 82 penalty minutes.
No fights, though. I listened to that game up near Fox Creek. Have you been to Fox Creek? It's near White Court. You ever been up there?
I've been to White Court, not Fox Creek.
When you did the play-by-play for Sure Part, did you go up to the White Court?
I actually did the game for Fort McMurray against White Court in White Court. I was doing some contract work.
Okay. Well, I was doing contract work as well, planting trees back in 1988 in Fox Creek, and we had to high point the truck in order to find a spot to pick up the game on AM radio. Rod Phillips with the call of the Edmonton Oilers winning. Jim Matheson was the color guy at that time, and that was in 1988. I would have been 22 years of age, and lo and behold, 20 years later, I was doing color with Rod for the final two games of his NHL career. So if you're listening, working your tail off somewhere in the oil patch or something, maybe in the forestry industry or wherever you're doing it, and you got a dream to do something else, well, you know what? What's the old saying? Even a blind squirrel finds a... can you say that anymore? I don't even know if you can say that, but I just did. Bottom line is, I got lucky. Anybody can get lucky because, man, I lacked a significant talent, a lot of regards here. But yes, the Oilers, Brendan, they played Detroit in back-to-back years in the 87 and 88 playoffs that year. Reed's going to come in here starting at 6:35, and we're going to let her 6:33. We're going to let her rip for about 15 minutes. The Red Wings were pretty good. Now, they had Steve Yzerman. They had Bob Probert. Bob Probert was, you know, 29 goals and 62 points in the 86-87 season. Probert and Kosher in 87 fought. I'm thinking that Probert fought McClellan and Kosher fought McSorley, if I recall correctly. And, of course, Kosher threw real bombs. The one guy that dropped Joey Kosher earlier in his career was Dave Semenko. He didn't give Kosher much of a chance, but he dropped him. He landed a KO bomb on him. But Detroit had some good teams. The problem was the Oilers were the best team in the NHL in 1986-87, 87-88, and Detroit got bounced out in the Campbell Conference in both years. Alrighty. Wow, what a save by Saros. It should have been 1-0 for Vancouver. He just pulled the puck literally right out of the net. Unbelievable stop, about 9 minutes to go in period number two. Still scoreless. We'll head off to a global news weather traffic update. Thomas Dias, it is with Thomas Dias now. Thomas Dias has a global news weather traffic update. And when we come back, Reed Wilkins, Brendan Escott, myself on orders now.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.